Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to explore a local treasure, the Lowther Deer Park Prairie. And get this, less than 1% of the original coastal prairie ecosystem still exists.
That's right.
Which makes this 51-acre plot of land in Deer Park, super close to Galveston Bay, really special.
Yeah, it really is like a time capsule of what this whole area used to look like way back when.
So fascinating.
And it's been designated a platinum prairie.
Okay, platinum prairie. I like the sound of that. What does that mean?
It means it's home to an incredible amount of diversity. 346 native plant species have been documented there.
346?
Yeah. More than some prairies that are much, much bigger.
Wow. That's a huge amount of diversity.
It is.
For such a small area, how is that even possible?
It's like a bunch of different little habitats all smushed together.
Mm-hmm.
A botanist named Jason Singhurst, he actually identified 6 distinct plant communities within the prairie.
6 different plant communities. Okay, let's hear about them.
All right, so, well, you've got areas like the Upper Texas Coast, Ingleside Sandy Prairie.
The Upper Texas Coast, Ingleside Sandy Prairie. All right.
And this is where you find these really cool features called pimple mounds, which are like these little rises in the landscape.
Pimple mounds. Okay, I'm picturing like giant pimples on the prairie.
Well, not exactly. They were formed slowly over thousands of years. And in between those mounds are seepage bogs.
Seepage bogs.
Yeah. They create the perfect environment for some pretty unique plants.
Like what?
You can even find a carnivorous plant there. The dwarf sundew.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
A carnivorous plant in Deer Park?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Okay, so we're not just talking about pretty flowers here. This place sounds wild.
Oh, yeah. And each one of these communities has its own special plants that you can only really find there. So in the Eastern Gamma Grass Switchgrass Yellow Indian Grass Community, for example.
The Eastern Gamma Grass Switchgrass Yellow Indian Grass Community.
Yeah, you're surrounded by these huge grasses and wildflowers.
Okay.
Like the prairie blazing star, especially when they're blooming, it's pretty spectacular.
I can imagine. Okay, so that's 2 communities down. What else is in this prairie plant mosaic?
Well, there's the Little Blue Stem Gulf Coast Mealy community, which is dominated by those grasses, but you'll see the Texas coneflower in there, too.
Okay, so the Little Blue Stem Gulf Coast Mealy community. Got it. And the Texas coneflower.
Right. And then there's the Gulf Cordgrass community, which is in the areas that can handle more salt.
Gulf Cordgrass community. Makes sense, being so close to the bay.
Yeah, and there's even a plant there called the Texas windmill grass that you can only find in Texas. It grows in these really salty, hard-packed areas of soil.
So it's like each of these little communities is its own little world.
Yeah, they really are.
Okay, so we've got grasses, wildflowers, even carnivorous plants. Are there any trees in this prairie?
There is a little bit of forested area, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called Texas Gulf Coast Live Oak Sugarberry Carolina Laurel Cherry Forest.
Texas Gulf Coast Live Oak Sugarberry Carolina Laurel Cherry Forest. Okay, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. And then, of course, there are what are called depressional pond types, basically little pockets of water that create a whole other kind of habitat for aquatic plants.
Wow. So we've got forests, we've got ponds, we've got all these different plant communities. It really is incredible how much diversity is packed into 51 acres.
It is. It really is.
But okay, let's get down to brass tacks here.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so important that we protect this little piece of prairie?
Well, like we talked about at the beginning, we've lost so much of this type of habitat. Less than 1% remains.
Right.
Which makes the Lowther Deer Park Prairie a really endangered ecosystem.
Okay, so it's rare.
And it's not just about the plants. It's about all the life that they support.
Right. The whole ecosystem.
Exactly. All the pollinators, the birds, all the other wildlife that depend on this habitat to survive. Some of them are even rare species, like the snowy orchid and the purple pleat.
So it's like a refuge for all kinds of creatures. But what about the people living in the area? How does this prairie benefit them?
That's a good question. I mean, if you live in an area that floods a lot, you know how important it is to have natural ways to manage that water.
Right.
And prairie plants are amazing at that. Those deep roots act like sponges. They soak up rainwater and filter it, which helps protect communities from flooding.
So it's like a natural flood control system.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing. And that benefits everybody.
It does. It's not just about preventing floods, though. This place is also a living laboratory right in our backyard.
It is. And speaking of learning, you can't forget about the Deer Park Prairie Education Program. They do some amazing work out there.
Oh, yeah. They're doing really great things to connect people to the prairie.
Especially, like, young people, right?
Especially young people, yeah. They have these student prairie programs where they bring classrooms out to the prairie. They do these really engaging hands-on activities.
That's so cool.
Yeah, the kids get to use tools like a prairie learning trunk. It's filled with all kinds of specimens and stuff.
A prairie learning trunk. I love it.
And they even have this Enviroscape model that they use to show how the prairie helps to filter water.
Oh, that's a good one. So it's not just about lectures and textbooks. They're really getting their hands dirty out there.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm also really intrigued by this Girls on the Prairie summer camp they do. What is that all about?
Oh, it's a fantastic program. It's specifically designed to get minority girls more interested in STEM fields.
Oh, wow. That's great.
It's all about hands-on prairie experiences and learning about science and stuff. And they even have a career day where women in science come and share their stories, which is so inspiring.
That's awesome. I love that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Now, I also hear that they encourage folks to create their own pocket prairies. What exactly is a pocket prairie?
It's exactly what it sounds like. You basically create a mini version of the prairie, but you plant it in your yard or at a school, whatever.
Like a little tiny prairie.
Yeah. And even though it's small, it can make a big difference for pollinators, and it helps conserve water. There's actually a really beautiful pocket prairie at Parker Elementary School.
Really?
Yeah. They did it a few years ago, and it's been so successful.
That's awesome. So even these small actions can actually make a real difference.
You really can. Yeah.
That's really inspiring. Now, what about the organizations that manage and protect the prairie itself? What can you tell us about the Native Prairie Association of Texas and the Byland Conservancy? What are they doing out there?
They are like the backbone of the prairie.
Yeah.
They do so much to protect this valuable ecosystem. They manage the prairie. They organize volunteer events, lead educational programs. They're constantly advocating to make sure the prairie stays protected.
It sounds like they wear a lot of hats.
They do. They really do.
Now, I also understand that Shell Deer Park has been pretty involved in supporting the prairie as well. How have they contributed?
Oh, yeah. They've been amazing. They've done so much to raise awareness about how important the prairie is, and they've really put their money where their mouth is when it comes to protecting it. They've given grants for research and education programs, encouraged their employees to donate. They even organize volunteer days at the prairie.
That's great to hear. It sounds like a real community effort to protect this special place.
It really is.
But I have to ask, even with all these people working hard to protect it, are there still threats to the prairie?
Yeah, unfortunately there are.
Like what?
One of the biggest challenges is invasive species.
Invasive species.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and just to remind our listeners, those are non-native plants that can spread really quickly and take over.
Right, and when that happens, they crowd out the native plants and it messes up the whole ecosystem.
So it's kind of like a constant battle to keep those invaders under control.
It is. It really is.
Are there other threats to the prairie?
Yeah, habitat fragmentation is another big one. Basically, as urban development spreads out, these natural areas become more and more isolated.
Like islands.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes them way more vulnerable to all sorts of threats.
And we can't forget about climate change, right? It's impacting everything these days.
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing more extreme weather events like droughts and floods, and that puts a lot of stress on the prairie's ecosystem, which makes the work of these conservation organizations even more important.
So it really sounds like the prairie has a lot to contend with these days.
It does, but there's also a lot of hope.
Okay, so amidst all these challenges, tell me, what gives you hope for the future of the prairie?
Well, like we were just talking about, you have all these dedicated organizations like NPAD and the Bayou Land Conservancy, and they're not giving up.
Right.
You've got local businesses like Shell Deer Park that are stepping up to help. And most importantly, you have more and more people in the community learning about the prairie and getting involved in protecting it. That's what really gives me hope.
It is really inspiring to see all these folks coming together to protect this one special place. So if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, okay, this prairie sounds amazing, I want to help, what can they do? What are some concrete actions they can take?
Well, the best way to start is to actually go see it.
Go visit the prairie.
Yeah, just go out there and see it for yourself. They have events and volunteer opportunities all the time.
Well, volunteering is great. Get your hands dirty, make a difference. What else can people do?
Donating to these organizations is a huge help. NPAT, or the Bayou Land Conservancy.
Okay, donations.
Even a small amount can make a big difference to those organizations. And of course, you can plant your own pocket prairie like we were talking about earlier.
Right, bring the prairie to your own backyard.
Exactly. And it's such a great way to start conversations with your friends and neighbors about native plants and why they're so important.
It is. Spread the word. So let's say somebody can't make it out to the prairie, they don't have space for a pocket prairie. Are there other ways they can show their support?
Absolutely. I mean, just educating yourself about the prairie is huge, and then sharing that knowledge with other people, that's really valuable. You can also support businesses that are really committed to being good stewards of the environment. We were just talking about Shell Deer Park. They're a great example.
That's a great point, supporting businesses that are doing the right thing. Okay, now I have to ask, of all the amazing plants that are out at the Deer Park Prairie, do you have a personal favorite?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I have to go with Eastern Gamma Grass.
Oh, yeah. Why Eastern Gamma Grass?
Well, first of all, it's just this giant of a prairie plant.
How tall does it get?
Sometimes over 6 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really impressive. And it's a keystone species, which basically means that it's super important for the whole ecosystem. Lots of other plants and animals rely on it.
6 feet tall?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I bet that is quite a sight to see. Now, we've talked a lot about the plants, but what about all the other creatures that call the prairie home?
Well, there's a huge variety of wildlife that you can find out there. Birds, insects, even amphibians. I really like the Cajun chorus frog. They're these tiny little frogs that live in the prairie's seasonal ponds.
Yeah, Cajun chorus frog, okay. Mm-hmm. And what about insects? I'm imagining there's a lot of buzzing and fluttering going on out there.
Oh, yeah, tons of insects, all kinds of butterflies, bees, ants, they're everywhere.
So it really is teeming with life.
It is. And they're all so important for pollination, decomposing stuff, even keeping pests under control.
It's amazing how everything's connected out there.
It really is. You can't have a healthy prairie without all these little creatures doing their thing.
Right. The whole web of life. Now, beyond its ecological value, what are some other ways that the Deer Park Prairie benefits the communities around it?
Well, we talked about flood mitigation, which is huge.
Right.
But it also provides this great habitat for pollinators, which are super important for our farms and our food supply.
So it's not just about the prairie itself. The benefits reach far beyond its 51 acres.
Exactly. And then there's the recreational and educational aspects. It's just a great place for people to connect with nature, learn about our local ecosystem.
Get away from the city for a bit.
Yeah. It's a place where people can just kind of find some peace and quiet.
It sounds like the Deer Park Prairie is a real community asset, providing all kinds of benefits that make our lives better.
It really is. It shows that we don't have to travel far to experience the beauty and wonder of nature.
I love that. Now, it's important to remember that we've been focusing on the Deer Park Prairie today, but this is just one small part of a much bigger story.
It is, yeah. The Deer Park Prairie is like a tiny window into this whole coastal prairie ecosystem that used to stretch across huge parts of Texas and Louisiana.
Right, but like we said earlier, less than 1% of that original prairie is left.
I know, it's hard to believe.
It really makes you think about what we've lost. But, okay, let's say you're a person who doesn't really think about prairies that much. Why should you care about saving the ones we have left?
Well, prairies are actually really important for a lot of reasons. I mean, they're beautiful, obviously, but they also play a huge role in capturing carbon from the atmosphere, which helps fight climate change.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And like we talked about earlier, they're super important for filtering water and preventing floods, which has a direct impact on people's lives.
Right. That makes sense. So protecting prairies is about so much more than just saving a few plants and animals.
It is. Yeah. It's about making sure our planet is healthy for the future.
Absolutely. And it sounds like it's not just about protecting the land that's already there. We also need to be restoring prairies that have been damaged, right?
Right. And connecting those fragmented habitats we talked about, making sure those prairie islands aren't so isolated.
Yeah, I can see how that would be important. It sounds like a huge job, though.
It is.
But what can regular people do to help? Besides planting those pocket prairies, of course.
Well, even small things can make a difference. Like when you're choosing plants for your garden, try to pick native species.
Native plants, okay. And just to remind everyone, those are plants that naturally grow in this area.
Right. They're already adapted to our climate and soil, so they don't need as much water or fertilizer, which is good for the environment.
Makes sense.
Plus, they provide food and shelter for native wildlife, so it's kind of a win-win.
So you're helping the planet, and you get a beautiful garden. I like it. What else can people do?
You know, even just reducing the size of your lawn a little bit can help. Lawns actually use a ton of water and chemicals, so if you can replace some of that grass with native plants, it really makes a difference.
Okay, so shrink your lawn, plant some natives.
Exactly.
And of course, supporting those conservation organizations is always a good idea, right? NPS, Bayou Land Conservancy?
Oh, absolutely. Those folks are out there every day working to protect these prairies, and they need our support. You can donate to them, volunteer your time, or just tell other people about their work. Every little bit helps.
All right, spread the word. It all comes back to that idea of thinking and acting locally, right? We might not be able to fix every problem in the world, but we can make a difference in our own communities.
I completely agree. And the Deer Park Prairie is the perfect example. It shows that even small actions at the local level can have a ripple effect.
That's a great point. By protecting this little piece of prairie, we're actually contributing to a much bigger effort to conserve these amazing ecosystems.
Exactly.
Well, I have to say, this deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me. I had no idea how much there was to learn about what's right here in our own backyard.
It's been great talking with you about it. Hopefully our listeners are feeling inspired to learn more about the Deer Park Prairie and all the other cool natural areas they can explore in their communities.
I hope so too. And for our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, don't forget you can find more information about the Deer Park Prairie, including upcoming events and volunteer opportunities, in our show notes.
And if you liked this deep dive and you find value in our show, please think about supporting us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. That link is in the show notes as well. Any support you can give really helps us keep bringing you this kind of information, you know, stuff that can really make a difference in our community.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for being here.